Yeah. Let the temple be filled with his glory, and let the courts be filled with his praise. Let us worship.
Oh, let us worship the Lord in house of the Lord today.
All this winter weather coming in, it's got to happen sometime, I guess, huh? So, it just didn't have to come this soon for my part. And I asked a guy yesterday in the bank, I said, how you like this cold weather? He said, I like it. I said, good. That at least gives somebody the other side of where I'm at about this. I said, you bring in a balance, I guess, because I don't like nothing about it. I'm a fair weather guy. I like fair weather. But it hadn't been, you know, all that bad yet. But when it goes 70 to 35 overnight, well, you can tell it. Anyway, I was thinking about, I thought several were gone today, and I thought, well, I might run up to Bobby Maine's for his evening service this evening. But I looked on the weather app, and it shows they're going to have snow and ice. So I guess we need to feel fortunate that we're just looking, you know, they're talking about it may rain. I don't know if it's going to rain or not. Most of it is going south of us, heading northeast, but it looks like probably this evening we may get some rain. But no matter what is going on in the natural, I thank God for what's going on in the spiritual, in His kingdom, in His, you know, I mean, I hope you left your bag of troubles out there before you came in the door, your sack of problems. Did you lay them down out there? You can get them when you go, when you leave. They'll be still there. And but it wouldn't hurt for you to lay them down for a little while you come in here. Because this is supposed to be our place of rest. We're resting from the weariness of the flesh. Our spiritual lives, as Jesus said that, He said, first He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those of you that are striving in this life, trying to stay afloat. And He said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. He said, for my yoke is easy. You know, that's a good promise. If you get yoked up with the Lord, it makes things easier. And He said, my burden is light. That's when, of course, you learn how to trust in the Lord and live by faith and know that, you know, you can get all worked up about things in this life, but if you can learn how to rest in the Lord, let Him help you. He will. He's a Savior. He's a great physician. He's your shield and your buckler if you'll let Him be. If you'll begin to learn how to utilize the benefits of being the child of the King. You know what? Sometimes I get to feeling like I'm, you know, a little bit spoiled. You know, it's sometimes I think about the people in the Dominican Republic, how they're, you know, we go into service like we stood up today to pray. It's hard to get them to stop. They'll just be, because they got a lot to pray about. They got a lot of needs. They're worried about how women are praying because they don't know what they're going to feed their kids when service is over. They don't know how they're even going to get home. Some of them got there, but they don't, you know, they got a way to get to church, but maybe they don't know how to get home. Especially if it starts raining while they're in church. They don't have any umbrellas. They don't have a ride home. They don't have to walk. Of course, they figure it out. They do. You know these little plastic bags that you carry to the grocery from the grocery store? They just pull them down over their head and start walking. But You know, you'll see people doing that, walking down the street, have a woman, two or three kids, they all got a sack on their head. And one good thing about it, it's not cold, so it's not, you're not going to get chilled while you're there. In fact, it could feel kind of good, you know, on a given day, because it's generally about 85, 6 degrees over there. The average temperature, I think, is 86. But when, you know, God's blessed us so much that we are kind of spoiled, but I don't think there's anything wrong with being spoiled. You know, I like to spoil my children. I love to give them good things. I love to see them benefit without having to go through, you know, everything I've been through in life. I'd like to help them escape some of that. And I know God's that way. God wants you to have good things. He wants to bless you. But He's more interested in your spiritual life than He is your natural situation. And it does all go together. In time, I've told people before that probably the most difficult achievement in this life, our accomplishment, the greatest and most difficult accomplishment many people never achieve, and that is to harmonize your life in God with your natural life here in this world. God's purpose is that it harmonizes, that you become one in Him. Your natural life finally is working together with the spiritual development, and it becomes one. You become one blessed person in the Lord, both naturally and spiritually. That doesn't necessarily mean that you've got... God would like to give you good things. I know that. Look at this United States of America, how God's blessed it. You know, you have to understand the plan of God. You have to see what God, the big picture, what He's working on. He chose this country to restore His church in. You have to understand that the church did fall away from the Jewish world. When Jesus came to that world, He came to the Jews. He came to bring about a harvest of a world that He had been dealing with for 2,000 years. At the same time, He gave this gospel to the Jew. He added the Gentiles in on it. That, you know, if you and I had been living before that time, if you'd have been born in the Gentile world before Jesus came, your chances of salvation would have been very slim. Very slim. The Gentiles weren't included. In fact, Jesus called them dogs. He called a little lady. She came, you know, wanting God to help her, the Lord to touch her. And He said, it's not meat for me to give the children's meat. It's not right for me to give the children's meat to dogs. That's what He told her. But she let Him know that the dogs get the crumbs from the table. And that touched Him in such a way, He said, so as your faith is, so be it unto you. He just said, you know, if you got that kind of faith, just go ahead and, you know, I'll just go ahead and let you receive your blessing. You know, it didn't mean that He didn't reach out to her any more than that. He couldn't give her any more than that. It wasn't time yet for the Gentiles to come in. You and I are blessed Gentiles, that this gospel has reached us. And you have to realize I was looking at a scripture. Let me give you a scripture I'm just thinking of. It may not mean a whole lot to you right now, but since it's in my mind, preachers, you know, they just give out what hits their mind. Brother Green, where is that scripture I read you the other day on the principal men? That's in Micah. That was, isn't that the fifth chapter of Micah? Yeah. In the fifth chapter of Micah, by the way, we have Lakia, is that right? Brown, Sister Brown. Now, I know you've been here before, haven't you? Really? Brother McGowan and I was talking about you, and I said, that woman looks so familiar, I think she's been here at least one time. Well, you just have that familiar look. Is that right? You just got that familiar look. Well, I was hoping that you only looked familiar to us so we could win you. Look, she's here with Chase. Chase, raise your hand. There's Chase. And Peyton? She's asleep. Look at her. There she is. Jalen? Jayla, there she is. Stand up, Jayla. We can only see your head. There you are. Isn't she pretty? Is this Kayla? Kayla, where are you at? You want to stand up? All right. My. And then Madison. There she is. Look at her. She ain't shy. All right. Well, Sister Lisa, she's responsible for getting them here, I guess. And we're sure glad you're here. Now, see, if we could get, you know, 8 or 10 families like y'all, we could build a big church. Several of our people are gone today because Brother Caleb Stewart got married, and he picked a girl down in Dawson Springs, Kentucky. And the whole family and some of the friends in the church had to go down there and see, be witnesses that he for sure got married. We don't want him getting off and just acting like he's getting married. We want to make sure. Anyway, precious young lady that he's going to bring back home here to be a part of our assembly with him. So we're looking forward to that. And I wish I could have, you know, been able to go and just be with them and, you know, witness her. Of course, they won't remember who was there and who wasn't, will they? Probably. I mean, they'll know who was maybe, but they probably didn't recognize that they were there. Anyway, I'm glad for all of y'all. And Sister Kitchens, it's sure good to have Sister Kitchens here today with us. Praise God. And her granddaughter. And what's your name? Kaylee. All right, Kaylee. Stand up so we can see you. There she is. Sister Kitchens is not a stranger here. She goes way back in this assembly. And we're glad. We're glad Sister Linda's feeling well enough to be with us here today, too. And so Sister Renata, her and Brother Douglas, they were in Jonesboro. That's where they're from this week, and they're on their way home. She sent me a text that said, pray for us. I guess they're worried about the weather, them getting home for the weather. And also Mackenzie's been sick, so they wanted us to pray. Somehow I got her contact on my phone as Sister Tally. When I got that text, I thought, who does Sister Tally have by the name of Mackenzie? And it threw me for a little while. And finally, she sent me another text, said, oh, by the way, this is Renata Douglas. I'm sure you knew that. I didn't respond to that. But I know now who it was because I had that Sister Tally on there that threw me. So anyway, I made a correction on that. All right, if you hadn't found Micah 5, you ain't going to finally find it. So He says, now, first verse, gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. They did that to Jesus, didn't they? But thou, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old for everlasting. Those are key scriptures that let you know this is talking about Jesus. We know he's born in Bethlehem, and there's nobody else been from old or from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brothers shall return unto the children of Israel. He knew that Israel, for the most part, would reject him. This prophecy, God knew that there would be a major rejection by the Jews of Jesus being their Messiah. But he knew that they would eventually, he would be able to bring them again to the kingdom of heaven. And then verse 4 says, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. This man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. And then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Here where it says the Assyrian shall come, that's really not referring to the country of Assyria, but this is symbolic language. It's really just talking about Gentiles. And of course, when the Gentiles came against Christ, it wasn't Assyria, it was Rome. It was the Gentiles, the headship of the dragon system of that day that came against him. But it said, then shall we arise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. They shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword, and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from Assyria and from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders. He's just showing here symbolically that there, when there was a war in heaven. Turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. I just want to tie this together a little bit. But I do want to tell you that there's 7... Jesus would have 7 principal men, 7 shepherds, and 8 principal men. That number 7, you know, is a number for, it's a perfect number in the Bible. It just means a complete, the fullness of all it can be. It's just all it can be is the number 7 would make up the whole of all something could be in its main or best condition. And the 12 apostles, when Jesus here was the 7 shepherds, it wasn't, there was 12 of them, but the number 7 just includes it all. They were the 7 shepherds. After Jesus went back to heaven, they were the shepherds that watched over everything. And then there was 8 principal men when God added the apostle Paul to that chief apostleship. See, there's other apostles, but they weren't chief men. They weren't chief apostles. That's where, you know, I think we have to understand something about the apostolic ministry, even of the early church, the New Testament church. Those 12 apostles were the principal men that the principles of Christ and the main message that planted and established the church in Christ was done by those 12 men, those 7 shepherds, that you know, symbolically seven shepherds, are principal men. And with Paul, God used Paul to plant and establish this message among the Gentiles. They were eight principal men, and they came against the Assyrians, and they won. They won the battle that was going on back there. If you, the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, if you, I'm just, you know, you may not, you may or may not stay with me on this, but I am using it because there's some that really want to understand these scriptures. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, here many of us have been taught this for so many years, it's easy for us to understand. But if you hadn't heard it, you know, before, well, it's good for you to hear it. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it, but it starts off, you know, saying there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This heaven is not heaven where God and Jesus is. You know, we're in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand here on this earth. We've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. This didn't happen in third heaven. This happened in the church here in the end of the Jewish world is what this is talking about. And this woman, this great wonder, this woman clothed with the sun is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's light. And he was the light of the world, and the woman's the church. And she was clothed with the sun. She was clothed with the word of God. That became her protection. It became her covering, spiritually speaking. And the moon was under her feet, which is the Old Testament. The New Testament's the sun. The Old Testament's the moon. That was the foundation. Paul said that we're built on the foundation of the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So the new church was built on a foundation, which is called the moon. The moon, if you look up in heaven, it is a planet, but it has no light within itself. When you see a bright moon, the other day, Brother Green and I, we were coming east, coming home from Oklahoma City, and the moon had just started coming up over the eastern horizon. It was kind of red a little bit. Brother Green thought it was the sun going down because he hadn't got his directions figured out yet. He said, "Look at there at that sun, Brother Smith." I said, "That ain't the sun." He said, "It ain't." I said, "No, that's the moon." I said, "That's the moon coming up." I said, it's not the sun." You know, if he thought we was going west and the sun was going down, but we was going east and the moon was coming up. And so, but the light, when you look at the moon and you see light, you're seeing the sun shining on the moon. It's being lit up by the sun. You're just seeing a reflection of the sun on the moon. The sun gives forth light, but the moon don't have any light in itself. It's just the sun shining on it, and you see the light of the sun in the moon. And so the Old Testament gives light, but it's light, it's the light that's given from the sun. Christ, he was in heaven, and he was given light in the old covenant, that old covenant. But if that old covenant was pointing towards him, that's what it's all about, was why Jesus came to this world, this study we've been doing. If you haven't been with us in the Bible study, I recommend you get on the website and go to the teaching services and go back and start where we started teaching on the book of Hebrews. That's one of the greatest letters written in the Bible, and it's the only letter in the Bible that tells you why God sent Jesus to this world, what he did when he got here, what it accomplished for you and I, not for him first, then what it accomplished for us, and what it's going to do for us in the future, what it's going to accomplish in the future. It's the only book in the Bible that actually goes through all of that, except for the book of Revelation, if you've got enough discernment to understand the book of Revelation. It covers all of that, but it's very symbolic. But the book of Hebrews is more plain. I'm getting so much out of that book. It's just amazing to me what all is in there. I'm getting more out of it every time I look at it. Anyway, here, this woman, if you can see her, the church, clothed with the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came here, what he did when he was here. And I'll tell you today, there's very few Christians that understand what I just said. There's very few Christians in Christianity that understand why Jesus came to this world and what he did. Most of them, if you ask them, they'd say, well, he came here to die for my sins so that I could be saved. And that's a true statement, but if you ask them, what do you mean he came to die for your sins? How did he come? Who was he? Was he a man or was he God from heaven? Or was he a God-man? What was he? How did he accomplish what he accomplished? How was it that he accomplished that when he came to this world? You know, did he... You know, are you telling me that Jesus came to this world and died on a cross and God accepted that and forgives you of all your sins and that's all you need to do to be saved? If you believe that, you're believing a lie. That's not, there's very little truth in that. Those statements like that have to be qualified. Jesus did die on a cross. You need to understand how he died on a cross. What his death really meant, how it came about, what it meant for him. And you need to understand that, yes, his sacrifice does forgive you for sins, but what it forgives you for is your past sins. It does not take care of your future sins. What he did in his life here and his sacrifice is what will help you take care of your future sins. Or your now sin, your sin nature. You see, you're going to have to overcome the sin nature. Now, here's one of the great things about God. You can ask him anytime you want to. If you ask him with a true, sincere heart and godly sorrow. See, repentance with godly sorrow need not be repented of. Again, if you're really, truly sorry because God has dealt with you, to be sorry for your sinful condition, and you're petitioning God, you can be sure God will forgive you every time you ask him. To me, that's marvelous that I can make a mistake and God will forgive me for whatever I've done wrong. Now, that doesn't mean I won't have any repercussions for what I've done. You're going to reap what you sow. So they're scars from sin. You need to get out of the sinning business as quick as you can. You know, I mean, man's just a few days and full of trouble. But you need to, you know, not only get forgiveness, but you need to get rid of the sin problem. See, let me tell you what you're getting rid of. When you kneel on the altar and you say, God, forgive me for my sins. Let me show you what you're doing. If there's a spider and that spider builds a web and you reach up and you tear the web down, but you don't get the spider, you got rid of your current problem. It's the same way of getting forgiveness for sins. You get forgiveness for your sins, you got rid of a problem. Never to be brought up against you again in judgment. But you didn't get the spider. It takes more than forgiveness to get the spider. It takes overcoming the sin nature. That's why you have to keep serving him. You've got to grow in grace, and you've got to overcome the Adamic nature and be transformed by the renewing of your mind and built up in a spiritual house to grow up in Him. See, Jesus said that, didn't He? He said, he that hear these words of mine and doeth them not. He said, he's like a man that built his house on the sand. And when the storms and the rains come, the house will fall flat. But he said, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, you can. There's a lot of people. Do you know there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians? They are God's children. By faith, there's people that God has accepted them because of their faith. And God's forgiven them for their sins. But they don't do the Word of God. They hear it, but they don't do it. And when the storms of life and the problems in life come, their house is built on sand. Life's not built on the foundation of the law and the prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And therefore, their house falls down when they go through a storm, a problem, a trial in life. But if they do the Word of God, God helps them to be diligent enough to begin to put this Word of God into practice. And they build their house, their spiritual house, on the foundation of the Word of God. When the storms and trials of life come, that house will stand. It'll stand through the trials. And God will, God will strengthen that house. And so, that's important for us to understand that God wants to do more than forgive you for past sins. He wants to help you get in a condition where you get out of the sinning business. See, the spider's still there. You got to get the spider. And that's why Jesus came to this world as a man. So he could get the spider first in him. He had the spider, the sin nature. He was born of man. He didn't come with the nature of angels, but he took on himself the seed of Abraham and became like you and I so he could be a faithful high priest, a mediator for you and I, an advocate for us, between us and the Father, for us to get, for God to get what he created this world for. Have righteous children, not because he made them righteous, little robots, but because they chose righteousness. They loved righteousness and grew to a place in God that they hated iniquity. God will give you the oil of gladness above your fellows. He'll give you oil. He'll give you oil when you put it in a lamp and strike the lamp, it becomes light. God will give you the Word of God that will give you understanding that will carry you through this life. You'll know the difference between good and evil, and you'll choose the good and shun the evil. God will finally have a nature like Jesus if you continue to grow and develop in Him. Anyway, I'm not getting very far on my lesson about these principal men. But anyway, in Revelation, the 12th chapter, the woman is the church, and she's standing on the moon. She's clothed in the sun. And a crown of 12 stars, the rulers of the church was the 12 apostles. That's the 12 stars. The ministers are stars. They're lights. They don't have any light either. All these stars, all these little orbiting planets, they don't have any light that they're giving off of themselves. That's the light of the sun that's hitting those planets that you're seeing. It's the same thing with a minister. And by the way, you're to become a star too. Every one of you are to become lights. You're the light of the world. You're to get lit up. You get in this orbit with us, we'll light you up. The light of the sun that's shining on me and other ministers will shine on you. If you let it shine on you, and you'll become a light to somebody else in this world. Well, those 12 men were 12 stars. They were the 12 rulers of the house of the kingdom of heaven, the church. And they were principal men. See, everybody's not a principal man. That's what Brother Green and I were talking about this, is Not every man is a man that is a chief ruler in the body of Christ. They're not chief leaders, men that actually plant the Word of God and establish it and cause the kingdom of heaven to have stability where it cannot be shaken out or removed. It takes principle men. Brother Leninger, when he died, he was preaching. This message got him in trouble. He's preaching on the porter. He's talking about the porter. And he's using the 10th chapter of St. John where Jesus was the door, but there had to be a porter to open the door. And he used Peter. That Peter was the porter back there. I'd have to say the other 11 were porters too, myself. I'd have to say those men could open the door to Jesus to you. But Peter was the chief porter. There's no question about that. He was the porter of porters. And Paul was a porter. And Brother Leninger used Brother William Souders as a porter. But he said this body don't have a porter. You know, I mean, what got him in trouble, everybody thought he was saying, I'm the porter, which that's what he was saying. He was trying not to take any glorification for it, but he just realized that he had a message that not very many other men had. And he was a porter. I'm not sure I would say he was the porter. I think that was his idea, that there is the porter. And I think if we look in the early church, and Brother, I don't think Brother Leninger, of course, if he's here, he might say, now, Brother Smith, listen to me. But he ain't here, so you have to listen to me. I can tell you this, nobody loved Brother Leninger any more than I did. I just know that if Brother Leninger was here, he would go on. Brother Leninger would get new revelation, new ideas. He'd see greater things in the Bible. He was a man that could change. When something was a greater revelation, he'd change and get a hold of it. But anyway, he was a principle man. That's my point. He was a principle man. Brother Souders was a principle man. That really was my thought when I got up here to mention these principal men. That you need to understand what's going on in this world, in the church. You need to understand that the church, Jesus came and harvested with principal men a harvest for that world back there. He told his disciples before he left, he said, you're going to reap where you didn't sow. He told them earlier in the ministry, he said, look, don't think it's 4 months to the harvest. For he said, the harvest is, the fields are white and the harvest is great. He said, pray for laborers, for truly the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Well, those men, they had to wonder, what is he talking about? You know, because it was no doubt the fields were not white. They were green as a gourd, and it was 4 months to the harvest. But he was trying to get their minds to get a hold of the fact that there was a spiritual harvest that was taking place right then in them. God was harvesting those 12 men. That fact, there was a little group, about 120, that followed Jesus around. And that was the first fruits of the harvest of the New Testament church. And he harvested that world. He made up a portion of his bride back there. And then the gospel was given to the Gentiles. Ignorant worshipers of idols, heathens, that came in and began to embrace this message. And for them, it had to come down on a lower level. That's why the church did fall away. But, and the Catholic Church formed. And then, out of the Catholic Church came God, began to deal with men. Look how patient God was. Here we are in 2014, fixing to be 2015, which is 1982 years since the day of Pentecost. And we still don't have what they had back there. Has anybody read the New Testament? Can anybody tell me we got what they had back there? No, we don't have it yet. But it's coming. Because you just look back. You think the Catholic Church had it? Look at where they didn't even know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost was. They didn't have it, but they had all that they could muster to come up with in God during their day. And then God rose up out of that a few Catholic priests and gave them some revelation which started the Protestant movement. And look where we've come from since the 1500s. You know, we came through Wesleyanism, John Wesley, the Wesleyan Church, the Methodist. And then Martin Luther. First is Lutheranism, then Wesleyanism. Then it broke out into many different movements, the Presbyterian movement, and then finally the Baptist movement. Finally, by 1901, somebody in the United States in Topeka, Kansas, little lady's name was it Agnes Black? What was it? Her name. Let me give it to you. I got it wrote down. Why can't we remember people like that? We already know them right off the hat, off the bat, haven't we? I wrote her name somewhere down in my Bible. Let's see if I can find it for you real quick. Yeah. I've got it wrote in here somewhere, but I'm not finding it right now. But in Topeka, Kansas, in 1901, this little lady received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Osmond. Agnes Osmond, that's it. And from that broke out the Pentecostal movement was restored. There had never been a Pentecostal movement like that since the day of Pentecost. There wasn't nobody trying to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and all of that. They didn't even know what that meant. In fact, they found scriptures like, you know, knowledge will cease, tongues will cease, prophecies will cease. They'd read those and people, there's still people out here in Christianity that'll tell you their tongues is not for us anymore. The Bible says it would cease. Well, they need to understand it might have ceased, but it's time for it to come back again. There came a time for it to come. It ceased because they lost out what God, the revelation of God about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People don't realize that's the birth of the nature of God. That's why Jesus came, that you could be born of God's nature. Christianity teaches now, many, many different groups teach that when you repent of your sins right then, you're born of God. But they overlook scriptures like when Paul went to Ephesus and he found disciples there. And he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we haven't even heard that there's such a thing as the Holy Ghost. He said, who did baptize you? They said, John. He said, no. John truly baptized, saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there cometh one after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he took them and baptized them again, because that baptism wasn't a good baptism, because nobody who baptized them in water pointed them towards Holy Ghost baptism in Jesus Christ. So he baptized them again. And what happened? They came up out of the water speaking in tongues and prophesying. See, people overlook scriptures like that. But those are true key scriptures that helps us understand that there is the end, this word for us to get what they had back there. We've got to have those scriptures. We've got to harmonize that. That's why it takes principled men to be able to defeat the works of the devil or the works of the enemy out here and the works of the flesh. That's what it is. It's works of the flesh. But all of this Protestantism came about. And finally, Pentecost came.
Now, read with me a little further in the book of Revelation 12. The 12 crowns were on stars on their head. That was the apostles. She being with child. See, ain't no woman in heaven having no babies. This happened on the earth. This is talking about the church being impregnated with the Word of God, bringing forth children. It's actually bringing forth a ruling element, a man-child, that would rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns on his heads. Now that great dragon, I don't have time today. Y'all would get bored if I tried to take you through all the scriptures to prove to you that a dragon is a civil power. This dragon had 7 heads and 10 horns. And there's Assyria. These are the world powers since the beginning of time. That's ruled the whole world. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and there's still a seventh head, which I say is the United States of America. That'll be the seventh head of the dragon. And then there's 10 horns, the 10 kings in the book of Revelation, the 10 kings that will rule the world after America. America will fall. They'll have to fall for the Word of God. God, if God don't judge this nation, he'll have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and repent to them. He ain't going to do that. He's going to judge this nation. You can bank on that, because God's gave his word and more blessings on this nation than any other nation in the world. And this is the greatest nation right now today in the world. You and I are blessed to be in it and blessed to be a part of it. If you don't believe me, you go with me the next time I go to Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And I promise you, when you get off on the airplane in Atlanta, you'll get down and kiss the earth of America and say, thank God for the United States of America. Because you'll think you're going to go nuts until you get back, after you get over there and stay about 2 weeks with me. You know, it'll be such culture shock to you. When you get home, you'll say, hallelujah. Praise God. You will. It's just, you know, we're blessed people. We're spoiled in America. You and I are spoiled because God chose this country. It's not because we're better than anybody else. It's because this is where he chose to plant his gospel, and it'll be like Israel. He's only going to get a remnant out of it. He's only going to gather up a remnant of righteous people in the end of this world when he harvests it. And you and I have a calling. We have a high calling. Hallelujah. Brother Green told how Haiti, you know, the word Haiti and the land over there came from high. It's a high place. It was higher in geographical area, more mountains than the rest of the island. So they called it high, and finally they called it Haiti. Well, this is a high place. But it ain't high because of mountains. It's high because it's chosen of God. You and I are in a place that God chose, and that gives us greater opportunity than others. I'm sorry, but it just does. It just does. God has to have a people. He's got to have somebody to start with. Finally, he chose a man by the name of Abraham. He chose a country. He told Abraham, look at this work. Look at this land. He gave him a prosperous, blessed land, which was to become the land for the Israelites. God wanted to bless them and give them and make them a great nation, which he did, but they failed God. God gave this United States a great land. My Lord, one of the greatest geographical areas in the whole earth. Look at what our leaders are doing. Turning away from God. Turning this into a sodomite country. God help us. Let's pray that God hold back the four winds until he gets his servants sealed in their foreheads. I know he's going to do that, but I want to be one of the servants that gets sealed. So he's saying, uh, uh,
Let's see. All right, so we're in, and his tail, verse 4, his tail drew a third part. This dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns on their heads. In other words, 7 ruling nations that ruled this world, and then 10 horns will be the 10 kings that will take of the final 10 kings before the Battle of Armageddon. And his tail drew a third part of the stars. If you look in Isaiah 9, verse 15, it's talking about the prophet that teaches lies. He, the ancient and the honorable, is the head, but the prophet that teaches lies, he's the tail. See, and his tail here drew a third part of the stars of heaven. That third part doesn't mean a literal third. Not back there. There's 3 worlds that we're concerned with here. The Jewish world, when the gospel was planted back there. Then the Gentile world down here. Down here is another third. The false prophet that teaches lies is going to get another third down here. Then the new earth, the 1,000 years, that's another world that people are going to be deceived in and lose their souls in because of the prophets that are teaching lies. So that's 3 worlds. The early church, the Gentile world, and the new earth. That's 3 parts. 1/3 of those 3 worlds, 1 part, that's the third. A third of it, they drew a third part of the star. So a third part of the ministry of the Jews, actually all of them that didn't receive the message, was the third part that was drawn out of heaven. A third, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as she is born. That's just talking about back there. The dragon tried to destroy Jesus, his ministry, and their followers. It tried to destroy that. They put them in jail. They beat them. They tried to stop them. They told them, don't preach in this name anymore. They tried to do away with it. They was trying to, that dragon system was trying to devour that. And she brought forth a man-child. You know, that was the body of Christ. Christ, the head, had already went to heaven, but his body was brought forth in the earth, which was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. During the 1,000 years, the bride, or the man, it's called the bride in one place, man-child element here. It's the ruling element that's going to help Jesus bring peace to this whole world down through the 1,000 years after the Battle of Armageddon and after he finishes making up the remainder of the man-child down here. And rod of iron caught up God in his throne, verse 6, and the woman, that's why, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath the place prepared for God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's the Roman Catholic Church. That's 1,260 days. And the Roman Catholic Church ruled the world for 1,260 years. And that's where God fed the woman and took care of her. It was a very, very slim diet that the woman was on. She just barely had enough spiritual food to stay alive. They're just, you know, just little things that you could have faith in God, you know, through the Catholic Church during those 1,260 years. The Word of God was, they chained it to a Bible post. No commoner, person like you, could never read the Bible. It's against the law. It's written in Latin, and only priest that knew Latin and was trained up that way could read it and tell you what it was saying. You just had to believe that they was telling you what it said. Until Martin Luther came along, and he said, this ain't what y'all telling people, ain't what this says. Y'all just telling them part of the story. Got him in trouble, didn't it? Well, so that happened for 203 score is 60. There's 20 to a score, and three scores 60, and 1,260 a day is with the Lord is a year, and a year is a day. It's a year. So it's 1,260 years the Catholic Church ruled. And verse 7 said, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. Michael, you know what the word Michael means? My middle name's Michael, by the way. It means like God. That's why I'm just kidding. That's why I'd like to be like God. I'd like to live up to my name. But I'm still working on it. I'm sorry. I'm not accomplished it yet. But Michael is the military name of Jesus. He was like God. He was the image of God. You got to understand, this is written in symbolic form. If God told everything just plain right out, they could have overthrew the plan of God, those that was trying to stop it. They didn't understand all this because it wasn't revealed as symbolic prophetical language. But Michael and his angels, Jesus and his ministry, fought against the dragon, which was that civil religious system back there, Rome and Judaism, that tried to stop him. That was a war in heaven. You've heard about the war in heaven where the angels got kicked out of heaven? This is the scripture they use, which ain't even talking about third heaven. There ain't no angels ever got kicked out of heaven. Come on. You think there's an angel in heaven that could rise up against God Almighty and influence a third? I'm telling you the truth about what actually happened. There was a third part of the worlds that fell because of false prophets. This took place here on the earth in the early church. Get that. This scripture is not even talking. This book wasn't even written until John wrote it after in the very end of the Jewish world. After God had accomplished what he's going to accomplish in that world, this book was written for you and I to understand this book of Revelation. And it's about the Gentile world from the day of Pentecost, what happened in those 45 years before Israel was judged, and then what happens in the 2,000-year Gentile world that you and I are living down in the end of right now. And so, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. Look at the next verse, verse 8. The dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. You see, if I was preaching on what's false doctrine today, and you was in a church where a preacher was preaching a bunch of false doctrine, and God helped you to understand that I was showing and revealing to you. Actually, God was doing it through a message. And you understood that you was in a place where false doctrine was being taught to you. Before that would be revealed to you, it would be a heavenly place. Because it had influence. You believed. You had faith to believe in everything you were being taught. See, do you think that Muslims believe in what they believe in? If God could help them hear a message and God with the Holy Ghost touched their minds and helped them see they was in false religion and they really saw it, do you think that place would be a heavenly place to them anymore? Oh, no. And that's what happened back there. When Jesus began to preach that Israel and the priest in Israel had failed, and that they were missing God, and that what they were teaching was a bunch of lies. And when they began to reveal that to the people, and people began to leave the Pharisee church and the Sadducee church and came into the body of Christ, their place was found no more in heaven. Those people who were preaching those things, once you see that's false religion, you come out of that, they don't have any place in your heaven anymore. They've been cast out of your heaven. Their influence was cast down. In fact, the New Testament church was preaching a message that was casting down all this false ideology of Judaism. and showing them the truth in Christ Jesus. They were being clothed in the Son. And so, their place was found no more in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. See, that spirit of wickedness was working in that dragon system and that religious system, deceiving people. And that was cast out. Those people cast that down. Those 12 apostles, those principal men cast that down out of the influences of people's minds, and it had no more influence over it. It was cast out of that heaven, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him, his ministry, the Jewish priesthood. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accusers of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens. We ought to rejoice today because Jesus won the battle over sin and falsehood and ideologies of men and traditions of men, and he was able to strengthen back there with seven shepherds and eight principal men. He was able to establish and stabilize and maintain something in this world in the gospel of Jesus Christ that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah! Thank God it's nearly 2,000 years old and it's still alive today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is alive and well. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we do have something. Woe! He said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's talking about back there. And of the sea. The sea represents humanity, the ungodly world. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's religion and the ungodly world, the earth and the sea. And the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Catch that. If you want to put that dragon in heaven, in third heaven, where the woman is, what is he doing persecuting the woman now that he got cast out? He didn't go very far, did he? He got cast out. Now he's persecuting the woman that brought forth the man child. The woman that's in heaven, the same heaven he was in, that he got cast out of. And now he's persecuting her. How did he get to her if she's up there some trillion miles away? No, this is talking about the church. See, after Jesus defeated that system back there, then the dragon began to work to persecute the remnant of Christianity. That happened as the church fell away. There's still the dragon system of Rome was still in operation, even though it was cast down. It was in a bad condition, but it was still in operation. And look what happened. Verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings. You see, that woman, that spirit of the dragon carried forth in Rome. It was Rome, Caesar Rome, pagan Rome. Then it was handed over to papal Rome. And they were still persecuting that true woman. You know, if you tried to do anything outside of their traditions, they'd knock you down. In fact, you might be burned at the stake, called a heretic, just because you believe something that the Catholic Church didn't teach. So that was still persecuting the remnant. We're the remnant of that woman.
And so, verse 14, and to the woman were given wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, unto her place where she nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. The woman, she was nourished there 1,260 years, but then she was given wings of an eagle. And you and I, here's the wings, the Old and New Testament, that's lifting us up out of the terra firma of the earthly, devilish, sensual element, putting us in a heavenly place. And God, and we've got wings, and God gave the church back there wings of an eagle that she might fly in the wilderness. And God moved the church from the eastern world to the United States of America. She flew over here. Finally, the wings brought her here. God did that to bring her to the United States of America to get freedom of religion and separation of church and state, because the dragon power was controlling the woman. Here we are in America, and God's kept us freedom of church and state, separation, where the church, God could deal with the church. He's still dealing with it. The church is still being restored. And there's principal men. There's always been principal men that are helping us, establishing this body. Every man is not a principal man. Every man's not a man to set forth the principles that stabilizes the body of Christ. Those principal men back there, I've even said this. There's men in this body who are being called apostles. Some of them I never considered they were apostles. And the reason I didn't is because an apostle to me is a man that is sent forth to build. He's sent forth to build the kingdom of heaven. And he'll establish churches. He'll build churches. They'll come right out of his ministry, and he'll build them, and he'll establish them, and they'll get stabilized. And God will give him other ministers. You know, an apostle, that's the thumb. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. And that apostle can touch every one of those gifts. They can touch one another, but not directly like he can touch and cover every one of them. They can't hardly cover one another. And his ministry. That's the Apostle Paul. That's his ministry. And these gifts are extensions of his gift. Even Timothy and Silas were called apostles. Paul called them apostles. But they weren't chief apostles. They didn't, not one of them, go out and build a work. And I used to think if a man, like some of these men that's been put over works that never went out and established a work, I used to think they couldn't be an apostle. But I realize now they could be apostles like Timothy and Silas and have gifts that would establish churches and works. But they're not establishing their own administration. They're not chief apostles. They're under apostles. They're apostles that have the gift to stabilize, to plant, and to establish within the administration God calls them in. If the work's big enough, God needs more apostles in that work than just the chief apostle. So I've had to adjust my thinking on some of that. There's men that are principal men. Thank God for principal men, for men that God uses, those men that are the principal men that he is establishing the kingdom of heaven by. And you know, in the end of this world, we're going to have men that are the principal men. And that don't mean that make those men, they got a greater place in authority and greater responsibility, but it doesn't make them greater men. They still have to qualify. They can disqualify. No matter who you are in the ministry, you've got a qualification that you have to qualify to work in and be responsible and answer God in, no matter who you are.
Anyway, so anyway, that's how we got here to America. Thank God for America. I'm not going to, you know, belabor this any further, but here we are in the United States of America today. And God's put us in a blessed place. But saints, let me tell you something. He's going to require more out of us in the future. He's going to, you know, God's going to do a work. He's going to restore his church, and he's going to make up the remainder of his bride, and he's going to judge this world, and he's going to gather his people out of all of this conglomerated mess of Christianity back into one body and make up his bride. I want to be a part of that. I thank God we've got an understanding of that calling, of what he's called us to be, what he's called us to do. And I was thinking about, you know, just our children. I was thinking about Brother Green today when y'all were talking to him downstairs. All of his sisters that couldn't take care of their little kids. All of, you know, the people in his family. You know, he's got a little orphanage down the street. That's what it is. It's an orphanage. We watched them grow up from babies. Ordalina, Ismailin, Jamilka. Jamilka's his daughter, but Ordalina and Ismailin. Then now he's got Alejandro. Who else, Brother Green, is down? Jacob. Even his brother, Samuel. And he's had to take care of Samuel because Samuel is not, he's very slow. And so Brother Green takes care of his older brother. He's not his older, his younger brother, but how old is he? 50 years old? 45? But he's slow, you know. In other words, his mind is not, he's probably like maybe a 16-year-old or something. I don't know. His mind's not, you know, fully developed, I guess. You just have to say slow. He wants to come over here. He talks with Elizabethan English. I love to listen to him talk. Me, myself, Brother Smith. Me, myself, I want to go with you, America. Oh, he does it with an English accent. It's cute. But he always wants to come in my room when I'm over there and sit down and talk to me. He loves to sit down and talk to me and tell me about the body of Christ and about Amos. They call Brother Green Amos. His family does. Amos Green. But he's got this little orphanage. But I was thinking while he was telling y'all about him, I thought, that little orphanage, God has blessed them highly. They may be poor as Job's turkey, but they're blessed because they're connected because of Brother Green to the body of Jesus Christ. They've been exposed. They got the Holy Ghost. They receive this message. They love it. And because of they got shuffled around and wound up with Amos Green, they got a revelation of the body of Christ. They're the richest children in the Dominican Republic. They're the richest orphans over there. The richest orphans that there are. My God, what a God we're serving today. Hallelujah. Look. However you got here, whatever your connection is, I'd like to spend, I wish I had time, I'd tell you more about a man by the name of William Souders and how this body came into existence, how God chose a man and showed him a scripture where there was one body, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Savior, one God who's above all, through all, and in y'all. But God showed him. There was only one body of Christ in the New Testament church. Back there when Jesus came to that world and went back to heaven and sent the Holy Ghost back down to this earth on the day of Pentecost, and people began to receive the life for their souls. Hallelujah. And God manifested himself to them and they received this life, and God began to open up this message to them and cause them to understand his overall principle plan. My God. God did that back there.
and showed Brother Souders back in 1914, there was a man that God saved, touched his mind and showed him, just like Jesus came preaching. But Jesus came preaching and said, look, you Jews, you're my people, but you've got this all wrong. God showed a man by the name of William Souders. This is God's people, but they've got this all messed up. All this division and separation of organization and denomination ain't in the Bible. God touched a little old man, a little old fisherman down on the Ohio River and showed him that, and he started preaching it. And God began to gather people together to hear things they had never heard before. Our Lord. And God began to call people out of every facet of religion, of Christianity, together with the revelation and message of one body, one faith, one Lord, hallelujah, a church that would rise again in the end of the Gentile world, that would bring about a harvest of all of God's people. My God, we've got a big job to do. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That message hadn't gone forth yet. We're working on it. We're practicing on it. I'm working on it today. I'll tell you another, a message that's starting to burn in my heart is, fear God and give Him glory. Everybody say that with me. Fear God and give Him glory. We'll never, never will we ever gather God's people out of Babylon until we get that message down in our heart to fear God, love Him more than anything else in this wide world and in this United States of America, to love God, give Him fear and awe and reverence, and give Him the glory for all things. When we get that down in our heart, it really becomes a part of us. And this world sees that I've got something that the world didn't give. And the world can't take it away from me. I've got something. Hallelujah. God has worked something in my heart that's changing me. Hallelujah. I've got something that my soul longs for. When I get around them, I can feel something drawing me. You get that in our, we get that in our lives. Me too. And we begin to teach others how to get that. That message goes forth, and people get a hold of that. Let me tell you, it's going to empty Babylon. That message right there is what's going to give us the power that's going to reach out and begin to touch people's lives to see that what I'm in ain't cutting it anymore, and it's what you got that I know that I need. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Brother, are you preaching this with me, Brother Green? Are you standing up with me? You standing up? Well, you know, I should have let Brother Green preach to you today, but I got started, and, you know, he don't get to hear me in the Dominican Republic only when I'm there. So he can take this message back home with him. He can preach it. He can preach it probably good as I can, maybe better. I don't know. I haven't heard him on all these aspects, because every time I'm around him, I'm the one preaching. He's interpreting them. He's my chief interpreter. He's my principal interpreter. And he is one of the principal men in the Dominican Republic right now. So I love Brother Green. I'm glad he's with us. And I know it's about time to go home. The Hebrews, the study, Bible study on Hebrews started on May the 11th, 2014. He said he had put Brother Painter just sent me that message on my watch. And that's right, I'm reading it off my watch. Brother, y'all know that I got one of them LG watches. I like tech stuff, you know. Brother,
Brother Weininger told me it looked cheap. Leave it to Brother Weininger. He just says what is coming to his mind, you know. He said, what is that thing? What is that? I said, well, that's one of these new deals. He said, well, it looks cheap. I said, well, give them time. They'll probably improve it over time. But anyway, also, this coming Saturday, which is the 22nd, is our harvest festival. And Brother Painter has put a list up in the foyer. Is that right? In the foyer? Okay, on the bureau out here, a list for the different foods that we need volunteers to bring. So look it over. The church will be providing the meats. And we're going to have a feast, a festival here, this coming Saturday. And the gym will be open for the youth and bring games. We'll also have a fire pit for marshmallows and just a time for us to come together. We'll start gathering around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, probably eat somewhere around between 5 and 6 whenever we can get it all put together. But you're invited, Sister Kitchens. Did you know how much we need you here? See, if you did, you'd be here more often. I need you. I need more than your heart. I need your carcass back there sitting on that pew. I want your heart, but I want your, you know. Can I get a commitment? Will you try harder to come more often? That's what I want. Yes, amen. And Sister Brown, we need you in your family. We need you here. We need people of God here. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you, every service is different, so you have to try at least 7 services to even get a feel of this. Because next service you come in, we may go crazy in here. We may not hardly be no preaching. May be shouting, jumping up and down, running in the aisles and dancing, no telling, falling out. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry. I can't tell you what's going to happen because nothing is on the agenda. Nobody gave you one of them deals, what do you call them? Program. We don't have programs. It's God's program. When we come in here, we just try to fit into it. I didn't have a message prepared for today. I just study the Word of God. When I get on my feet, I expect Him to fill my mouth. And if He don't, I sit down because I know I'm out of order. So, we love y'all. We want you. We want to build a church. And we want to build one, a church of Joseph's colors, coat of many colors. I think all God's people, all cultures and all races are to be in here. This is for all of God's people. This is not a segregated calling. This is for the people of God. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. All right. Give me some kind of song to get me down from here. Oh. People. Oh, yes. Brother Green, I told him on the way to church, I said, you have to remind me. I'll probably forget it. He asked me to ask you people, if you have any old cell phones that you're not using, there's people in the Dominican Republic. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how can them poor people afford a cell phone? Here's the deal on the Dominican Republic. I saw on the news not too long ago, a guy in Africa riding a donkey in the desert talking on a cell phone. Well, here's how it works over in the Dominican Republic. They're smart. Cell phone people in the Dominican are smart. All incoming calls are free. You can be poor as Job's turkey, but if you got a cell phone, you can get a phone call, and it won't cost you a dime. But if you make one, you're paying for both sides. You know. So, you can have a cell phone. And really, they need a cell phone worse than you do. Because they can get off stranded in places where they don't have no way that they can get a hold of anybody. And they can come more near getting stranded than you can. Somebody will come by here in a little while, and they'll stop and ask you what your problem is if you're in too much trouble. Over there, they may not anybody. You may be in a place where ain't nobody come by, and if they did come by, they're in the same shape you're in. They ain't got any way to help you. So, if you got any cell phones, old cell phones that you're not using, bring them and give them to Brother Green. He's got people, he's got pastors and people that need them, that would like to have one, that ain't never, ever held an iPhone or a smartphone or even a flip phone. So if you got them, bring them. What else? Oh, yeah. We can't leave here until we pray. Take up the offering. Who did I say? Sister Bryant's sick. Sister McKenzie. Sister Douglas's daughter's sick. Sister Linda still needs prayer. Brother Thompson's, look at his jaw. He's out of sorts. Actually, he's told me, I'm not in pain, I just look funny. But he's got an abscess too, so let's pray for him. That God will help him and touch him. What else do we need to pray for here today? Brother Johnson's wife. Pray for all the people that went to the wedding. It's on their way home from Kentucky. Let's pray they'll be able to get home before the bad weather hits them. They're up north, you know, where the weather's headed. Yes. Pray for Amos Green. He does have high blood pressure. He's fighting high blood pressure in his body. So let's pray God would heal him of that. Brother Dodson. Sister Ann. Thompson, because you know, as our parents get older, they, you know, it becomes our burden and responsibility to help take care of them. And so, you know, we really need your prayers. It's a burden to you know, God can help them touch their lives and not only for their sake, but also for the caretaker's sake. Keep praying for my mother too. What else can we? Okay, yes, Jacob Durham and Brother Daniel's oldest sister is having physical problems. All right, praise God, that's a good report. Keep praying for Sister Elder, Cindy's mother. Sister Inez, they're putting her through some tests. And we're praying that all of her tests comes back good. So let's keep praying, Sister Inez. Brother and Sister Crow, keep them in your prayers. Sister Kitchens. Okay, her brother Nick, hip replacement. Who told me about somebody having, Brother Gary Green, I think, is having knee surgery this coming week. Somebody over here have their arm up? Yes. Let's see. Is that Chase? All right. All right. For his cousin and her kids and her mama to get a job. His mama. So let's remember that prayer. Let's ask God to meet that need. Oh, all right. All right. Praise God. If the ushers would come, we'll receive your tithes and offerings here today. prayer. Let's all stand and ask God to meet these needs. Oh, Lamb of God, precious Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lamb of God, we give you praise today, Jesus, for your goodness, your grace. Oh, God, meet these needs, Lord, each one. We've called out here today, Lord Jesus. Watch over the saints that are driving home. Back to this home assembly today, Lord. Touch each one that was mentioned here today. Sister Brown, God, give her a job. And touch this cousin of Chase. God, touch her children. Help us, oh God. Touch Sister Bryant today. Sister Inez, Lord. Sister Elder, oh Lamb of God, we're asking you to meet these needs, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear Lord and God, touch Sister Fisher today, Jesus. Touch Mackenzie today, Lord. Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Touch Sister Kitchen's brother, Nick. He has surgery this week. Brother Gary Green, Brother Jacob Durham, God, we just look to you because you're our shield and buckler. You're our help in the time of need. You're our great physician, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Lamb of God. All right. God bless you today. You can be seated. Kitchens, I didn't offend you, did I? I didn't. All right. I don't want to offend anybody. You know, sometimes I get a little personal. But I meant everything I said. Hallelujah. I'm trying to recruit folks, you know. I'd like to get this house so full that we had to do something to make room for more. Yeah. We could sell this to somebody and get one of those big mega church. You know, when these mega churches decide they need to add another 10,000 or so, they want to get rid of their old junky place that only holds 3,000 or 4,000. Maybe we'd get one of them. All right, God bless you today as you give. Brother Green, come up here and reside over the offering. Then when they finish, you can say what you're going to say. Reside. You just stand. You see, when you're standing up here, come up here. See, when you're standing looking at everybody that's given, they know they're being watched.
Okay.
You see, if ain't nobody standing up here, they don't think nobody's looking. So you stand right here until they get done giving. John, you watch John right there.
All right, brother, go on.
Just got to finish. We can't afford to take a break right now. For it is he that endureth to the end that shall be saved. We just gotta make it somehow. We must pass up all the exits, leave the
We ain't through with that song. But I want the ushers to come back up here. I want them to take up an offering for Brother Green. How many of y'all love Brother Green? Well, I want you to know he's been gone now 2 weeks. That means he ain't making no money at home. Now, Brother Green, I'm going to have you stand up here and preside over the altar. I want you to look real sad, you know. Look like you in need. Let me tell you, he won't let you know it, but he is in need. He's got all kinds of needs at home that he really needs your help financially. And, you know, our regular tithes and offerings goes to pay the bills of the church, but I want to bless this man. I want y'all to bless him. And put my offering in here so, you know, to let y'all know I want to be in on this too. Look, we're going to sing this song a little bit more, but I'm asking you to help frown a little bit. No, he would be happy if you didn't give him nothing, I can tell you. But he's a great worker of the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something. He would probably have a regular job, but I told him, I want you to quit your job. I need you to work the gospel in the Dominican Republic. And so he's just been trusting God for several years now, obeying what I've told him to do. And God does bless him. But, you know, it doesn't mean he doesn't struggle any. You know, in fact, he has such a big heart that many times when I give him an offering, he gives it away. He has people, other pastors that have needs, and he hates to tell me about all of them, so he gives some of his offerings away to them to help them. He does, he really does that. He's always had a big heart and always gave for others, so I wish we could give him, you know, I wish we could bless him above what his needs is, but I'm not sure we can do that. But whatever you feel God wants to do for him, well, you just put it in the offering today. Let's keep on running.
We have started in a race, and we've just got to finish. We can't afford to take a break right now, for it is He that endureth to the end that shall be saved. We've just got to make it somehow. We must pass up all the exits with the detours behind. Yeah.
Service, what about band practice? No band practice tonight. Service at 5 o'clock. Come, bring some with you. Great man of God will be here preaching from the Dominican Republic, Brother Amos Green. Yeah, he's going to be featured tonight in our service. He'll be preaching a great message of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you at this evening at 5 o'clock.